Hell Yes Life, episode 45. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a hell yes life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell. I hope you are doing great today. This is the place to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from our amazing guests that will motivate you to live your Hell Yes Life. The Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday. Hell Yes Lifers, if you want to write a review, please visit hellyeslife.com/HYLiTunes. Okay, let's get into today's episode. Hell Yes Lifers, today my guest is Greg Clunas. Greg is an entrepreneur, podcaster, and consultant, and the host of Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, a top-ranked podcast that is focused on making personal development simple, and as Greg says, less fluffy. In Greg's own words, personal development has become about saying things that sound nice but aren't rooted in any practicality. I started this podcast as a response to what I felt was a rotting personal development industry. Since then, it's grown into a larger community of people around the world who want to change their lives but realize it will take one step at a time to get there. On the episode, Greg and I talk about how and why Greg dove into the world of podcasting, why he thinks just talking about finding your passion and the work you love can be dangerous, how he decided to create a podcast that focuses on the day-to-day things we can do to improve our lives, why he thinks the personal development industry can be elitist, and that personal development is itself is really just your life, plus an HYL exclusive about an exciting development in Greg's life. Without further ado, let's jump into my conversation with Greg Clunas. Greg Clunas, welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast. Are you ready to tell us about your Hell Yes Life?
Hell freaking yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for being on the show, Greg. Really excited to have you on the show. I'm a big fan of your podcast. I always like to start off by asking our guests, what is your Hell Yes? And by that, I mean, what is that thing that really lights you up and makes you come alive?
That's a good one. People. I am fascinated by humans and the way we behave and why we behave that way and just the general mixture of psychology and philosophy and neurology and behavior that drives our lives from the day we're born to the day we end up in the grave. And that has been... And this is something I've realized really in the last year and a half as I've been doing this show, but that is the most fascinating thing to me.
Interesting. And can you remember a time, and no pressure here if you can't pinpoint the exact moment in kindergarten when you realized this or something, but can you remember a time when you realized like, wow, people, I'm just fascinated with people? You said it was over the course of this year even.
Yeah. I spent the majority of my life not knowing what I cared about. You know, I was the kid who jumped from thing to thing after a week, and I still am that to an extent. I think that's a core piece of my personality. Over the last year, as I've been producing this show and researching topics and speaking to listeners and just learning more about, frankly, how easy it is to change our lives, but still how few of us actually try to do it. It just dawned on me, like, how is it possible that virtually every person in the world, or at least in developed countries, know exactly what they need to do to get whatever it is they want? And if they don't know it, they can look it up online. How is that possible that the knowledge is there, but yet we don't take the actions? And so in the search for that answer, I've just come to realize, like, I'm fascinated by this, and I'm fascinated by that gap and what creates that gap and the factors that come into play on a day-to-day basis.
I have written down a note that we're going to circle back and hit that. We're going to talk more about that. That is fascinating. I totally agree with you. I think we could dive into that a little bit more. But first, I want to back up just a little bit for the sake of our listeners. I'm sure there's many of them that would be familiar with your podcast, but can you give us a little bit of a high-level view of what are you up to right now? What's life like in your world, Greg?
Sure. So I am the host of Tiny Leaps, Big Changes. It's a podcast I launched about a year and a half ago on January 1st, 2016. And the high level version of it is that I explore the world of personal development and human behavior and sort of cross-reference that with that question that I was referring to earlier of why is there this gap between what we know we need to do and what we actually do. And I just sort of share those findings with listeners, never pretending to be a coach or a guru or anyone who really knows anything, quite frankly. But trying to learn these things and apply them to my own life and share findings, share, the research that I come across, share stories from other people. So life right now is ridiculously fast paced. And this has just been the last 2 months. I when I first launched the show, I was doing it full time plus some freelance stuff. And since then, I've taken a full time job, and so just a lot of work around doing the full time job and also maintaining and growing the community, which has been exploding at outside of even my own imagination when I first launched it. And you're about to get a Hell Yes Life exclusive here. I haven't even announced this on my own show, but I just landed a book deal around the podcast. And so a lot of really amazing things that have been on my bucket list for years are happening at the same time. And so that's hectic and tiring, and there's a lot of late nights, but it's also the most fun I've ever had in life. And I feel like all throughout school and all throughout college, like, this is what I had been waiting for. This is the moment in life that I had been hoping to get to. And now I'm finally starting to get there, and I can just see all these doors opening, and it's humbling, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, congratulations, and thanks for giving us an HYL exclusive. Congratulations on the book deal. That is super exciting. And yeah, I think I checked the charts recently. I think you're in the top 50 at least on iTunes in the health section. So
yeah, congratulations. Bounces between top 30 and top 20. I can't seem there to break that top 10, but fingers crossed, I've got a plan, and over the next 6 months, I should be able to do it.
Nice, nice. Okay, so obviously, you're experiencing a lot of success. It's super exciting. Let's back up to pre-podcast. What was going on in your life that I always like to ask this of fellow podcasters, because it's kind of this odd decision we make. I love it, but it's an odd one. Hey, I'm going to start up my own podcast. What led you to that decision?
Yeah, so I graduated college, or no, I guess I actually have to go a little bit further back, just for some context. Senior year of high school, I wanted to buy a car. My first car. I was just about to get my license, and I knew my parents weren't in a position to be able to sort of finance that, having just dealt with, you know, the financial crisis. So I wanted to buy myself a car, and I was having a conversation with my cousin at the time. He had just got into this thing that at the time was called internet marketing, and primarily like affiliate marketing and selling, like, I don't know, random books and ebooks and stuff like that. And so he introduced me to it, sort of coached me on it, and I did fairly well the first couple of months, ended up buying a car, and was immediately hooked on working on the internet. And I told my parents, I'm going to work on the internet. And they said, absolutely not. Go to college. So I went to college. During my time there, I just sort of kept diving deeper and deeper into this world of marketing and learned content marketing and blogging at the time, and watched the movie The Social Network. And like everyone else around that age group, decided I needed to start a startup. And Met a couple of friends that were developers, and I was going to use the marketing talents. And we worked for about a year and a half on this startup called Attend That, that was going to, in my mind, revolutionize the college event space. And we never launched it. But throughout this entire process, I just went deeper and deeper into the marketing world, and specifically digital marketing, as the industry started to become more legitimized and stopped being about pushing, you know, random pills on the internet, and more about how do we get a brand's products in front of the right people. Legitimate teachers started to rise up, and legitimate blogs started to rise up, and just a lot of great information made itself available. And it's around this time that I graduated college. So 2014, I'm in my first job that summer, and I'm bored to tears. It's a marketing job for a real estate company, but there's really nothing that interesting going on. So I'm there, I'm bored, I'm searching for marketing content and business content, and I find this podcast, Entrepreneur on Fire, as I'm sure many of you have heard of, and it's really the first introduction to podcasting for a lot of the people that I know. So I listened to, binge listened to about 20 or 30 episodes. Join his course, Podcasters Paradise, on how to do podcasting, and realized very quickly I had spent about 2 or 3 years producing electronic music by this time, and realized very quickly that a lot of the same audio skills apply. So I felt like, okay, well, there's a few key pieces I'm missing to podcasting, and jumped in on it and launched my first show to absolute crickets. It was called Time to Launch, and it was pretty much a carbon copy of Entrepreneur on Fire, which is probably why it didn't do very well. Closed that down and spent the next 2 years just working with every single podcaster I possibly could. I worked with Tim Page and John Lee Dumas and a gentleman who runs Authority Engine, Ben, and just freelance clients. Like, over the course of those 2 or 3 years, I launched 32 different podcasts for clients, between my own personal clients and clients of people that I was working with, and just sort of got obsessed with this space. Finally, I left that marketing job that I was at in December 2015, and decided I was going to go off and be a freelance web designer / podcast producer. And so around this time, a friend of mine released a self-published book. It was in the personal development space. It was all about finding work you love and how that's going to make your life amazing and happy and your passion and beautiful and all of the nonsense garbage that we hear in the space today. And it sort of frustrated me, because in my mind, that is dangerous information to put out there, because it leads to some people quitting their jobs without doing the work required to be able to follow your passion and to be able to sell products and make an income. And so they end up on food stamps, or they end up not being able to provide for their families, or whatever it is. But it's advice that, outside of the proper context, is just bad advice. And so I decided that day, and I still have the journal entry of this, that I wanted to create something that was focused purely on the day-to-day of personal development, the actual everyday stuff that you needed to do in order to get to the point where you could potentially follow your passion, or where you could be the size that you want to be if it's weight loss, or where you can make the money you want if it's finance, or whatever it is. There's stuff you need to do every single day in order to get there, and nobody was talking about that. Being that I had this expertise at the time in podcasting, it made sense to launch that. And so a month later, I launched Tiny Leaps, and now here we are.
Wow, that is awesome. That's awesome. A couple things I was just noting as you were telling your story there. One is your first podcast didn't work out, right? And I think for a lot of people, that might have been it, right? It's like, well, I guess that podcasting's not for me, but you came back. Do you remember that time period? Was there any doubt for you, or were you kind of like, I don't care, I'm going to keep going until I find success with podcasting? Or was there any moment in there where you thought, oh, I don't know if podcasting's for me?
No, there was never any doubt. And here's the reason. So my first podcast didn't work, but Tiny Leaps isn't my second show. It's my fourth personal podcast. So I've launched 30 plus shows. Four of them are mine. And the other three all failed as well. But there was never any doubt. And I think a big reason for that is because, as I mentioned before, I'm that kid that runs from thing to thing week after week. And so I try an enormous amount of things, and the majority of them don't go well. As a result, like, it doesn't really count as a failure to me. In my mind, it's not like, oh, I launched this show and it failed, nobody listened, yada, yada, yada. It's, oh, well, that's just another thing. Throw it in the garbage and move on. And so there was never even the question of, well, should I stop podcasting? Because, like, it's just another thing. Move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the reason I bring that up. I think for our listeners, it's important to think about those times, or even for me, you know, there's just times when I try something, it doesn't work out. And there's definitely a tendency, or, you know, a part of me that's just like, oh, well, okay, let's start completely over. Obviously, I'm not meant for this. I should try something completely different. But it sounds like, you know, that's already part of your makeup to say, okay, well, that was just something I tried. I'm trying the next thing, trying the next thing. I can also identify with that that tendency to be sort of, you know, going from thing to thing. So that also could be something that we talk about, is like, how do you kind of stick with something? But first I want to ask about, so you heard that, or your friend was putting out this personal development book, and I thought it was interesting that what prompted you to start your podcast was that you got kind of pissed, right? You got like, ah, there's another one of those books that's telling you to go after your passion. That's irresponsible. And that's what kind of made you go forward, right? And sometimes it's those things that irritate us that actually push us into action, into what we want to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, like right before we jumped on this call, I recorded an episode that's going to go live tomorrow. And I've been really, over the past year and a half since I've been publishing this, it's really forced me to give some real serious thought to my views on the space, personal development, on philosophy, on psychology, just on anything that has to do with or affecting human behavior. And something that I've come to realize, and I think deep down, this was really the thing that triggered that response, is that self-help and personal development is not real. And I know that sounds a little weird, but what I mean by that is the industry side of personal development and self-help has created a scenario where people who follow personal development content and buy the books and attend the webinars and the conferences and everything else, those types of people can identify themselves as a tribe. And by being able to identify yourself as a tribe, it creates this sort of elite aspect. And so the way that you reinforce that is by making personal development and self-help sound like this difficult journey you need to go on. And you need all of these books and conferences and stuff in order to reinforce that. And so what you create in that is one group of people who are in the club, who just constantly consume content nonstop, and then a group of people, a much larger group, that aren't in the club because they're not attracted by that message. And what I've come to realize is that personal development and self-help is just your life. Like, the only thing required to make your life better is to live your life with some kind of intention. There's no journey you need to go on. There's no passion you need to find. There's no book you need to read that's going to give you some secret piece of information. The only thing is to live your life and know what you want. That's it. The behaviors you take every single day and the decisions you make every single day are the things that get you what you want. It's your life. It's not some like separate piece of your life that you need to budget time for and all of this nonsense that the industry sort of pushes. And so that's something that I've been getting more and more frustrated with, because I'm just realizing, and I didn't fully realize it when I launched the show, but as I've been producing and talking to my audience and just better understanding the challenges of reaching people who aren't already looking for personal development content, meaning the people that listen to my show are the people searching for things like my show, whereas there are 1.5 billion people that don't resonate with the message of personal development. And so they never look for it, even though they could probably use a lot of it. Like, that frustrates me, because what is the point of helping people who don't need to be helped? Like, if you want to help somebody, find the person who doesn't know they need to be helped and help them. And so what that creates is this elitist view of the world that excludes the majority of people that need to actually be helped, includes the people who are already consuming everything, but also not taking any actions because they're consuming everything. And everybody makes a lot of money, but that's so frustrating. Like, that is the most annoying thing that I've ever heard. And so I don't know how you solve that, but to answer your question, that's the seed that sort of sparked creating the show. And now that I'm more aware of what that seed was, that's the seed that's going to be driving virtually everything I do going forward to bring more awareness around the idea that this is not a separate thing you need to be doing. It's just your life. It's just living a better life. That's it.
I love it. I love it. I love I love your perspective on that, and how it's kind of like runs, a little contrary to, typical personal development stuff. You're basically kind of saying, no, you don't need to take a course in this. You don't need to, spend thousands of dollars on this. This is your life we're talking about here. And your podcast is about, offering small, like you say, tiny leaps, big changes, right? So there's like small topics, daily things that you can do to improve your life. Let's go back a little bit to the beginning of the podcast. So you launched the podcast, and, I know obviously things are taking off for you now, but there's that, that launch of the first few episodes to crickets or whatever, whatever your audience was at the time. What were you thinking then? Like, first of all, what made you decide to have the format that you did? Okay, I'm going to do a solo podcast. It's going to be short episodes about these topics. What was your thinking around all that?
It's kind of funny. It was the current format of the show is based purely on necessity. So when I launched the show, originally when I was creating it, in my mind, I was going to do a weekly podcast. I quickly realized if I wanted it to do well, I should just double down and go daily. And like I said, I was doing it full time at the time. And so I was able to do that pretty effectively. In my mind, the one thing I wanted to make like really important to me was that it had to be current. And the reason it had to be current was so that I could talk to listeners and then immediately make an episode about what we talked about for the next day. And so that created a lot of interesting things in the first couple of months that I think built up a really good community, but I'll get into that in a second. And so if it was going to be current and it was going to be daily, that meant recording the episodes the day that they went out. And so I'd wake up at, let's say, 7, record an episode, and it would go out by noon. And so if you're going to do that, you can't rely on interviews. You can't rely on somebody else's schedule. So it has to be purely what can you create. And so that's why it started as a solo show and is still largely a solo show, though I'm starting to integrate a little bit more interviews in there. But those were really the only core decisions that I made in sort of the planning stage. And that dictated the format that it developed. And one of the things that came out of that, which was lucky, quite frankly, like I didn't even realize this, but looking back, I can see why it worked, is I created a daily show in the personal development space that launched on January 1st and was consistent for the first 6 months as a daily podcast. And so part of the reason it got as big as it did was because of those four factors that I didn't plan for. And in addition to that, the being current thing allowed me to do things like somebody tweeted at me once and said, hey, it's my birthday tomorrow. And in that morning's episode, I wished her a happy birthday. And so when you're able to do things like that, and that first February, the second month that I was doing it, I had people call me and just talk to me for 5 minutes every day of my workday, so Monday to Friday, and got so much insight that then guided the next day's episode and the day after that and the day after that. And so it just allowed me to create this really strong community of initial listeners that were more than happy to share it out and more than happy to recommend it and more than happy to give me feedback.
That's great. That's great. So yeah, it sounds like the frequency and that timeliness were definitely contributing to the success of the podcast. That's awesome. Can you think of some of the top, I mean, just off the top of your head, I know you've done, I don't know how many, what episode are you on now?
179 goes up tomorrow.
Okay, so approaching 200 here. Are there any topics that stand out for you? And just in general, how do you go about picking your topics?
So I have a framework that I utilize. I call it sort of the six pillars of life. So you have your finances, your career, your relationships, your emotional health, your fitness, and your nutrition. So I try to frame whatever episode I'm working on, I try to frame it off of one of those topics. What I've noticed is that the most popular episodes are actually probably a seventh category, which is your philosophy. And that's just sort of how you think about the world. So it's not purely emotion driven. It's the thought process you have and the way you interpret different things coming through you based on the life you've lived so far. And so those episodes tend to do a lot better and get the most sort of direct feedback and emails and that sort of thing. But each of my episodes fits into one of those seven categories somehow.
Let's take that last category then, the philosophy category. Is there something that pops to mind as like, yeah, this really resonated with my audience, or this is one of my favorite episodes?
I did an episode I expect tomorrow's episode to have similar results, but I did an episode months ago. I can't even remember which number at this point. That was titled "What Are You Afraid Of?" And the concept was a little different from, you know, the majority of personal development content that might have that title, where they talk about how there's nothing to fear and yada yada yada. I approached it really more as understanding what your core fear actually is and then progressing anyway. So it's not the elimination of fear, and it's not the there is nothing to fear message. It's more the, of course you're afraid. Like, it makes sense that you're afraid. You're trying to change your life, and that is a massive deal. And so you just need to understand what that fear is so that you can move forward.
Interesting. Yeah. I've looked at some of the topics that you cover. It's everything from sugar addiction. You know, it looks like you had an episode about going back to that full-time job. You know, it sounds like there's all kinds of great information. And I like the kind of the bite-sized, length of the episodes. So it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm going to have to listen for an hour and a half here. I can just get that little chunk of goodness there to brighten up my day a little bit here. So let me ask you this. I want to go back to that kind of that big question that you're kind of fascinated about, which is, how is it that we, as, you know, people living in a quote unquote first world, countries or whatever, who have access to all this information and we quote, we kind of know what to do, but we don't do it. What more do you have to say about that? It sounds like it's kind of connected to this thing that intrigues you about the people that don't seek out personal development and how to reach them. Mm-hmm. So just anything in that theme there.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Like, it's a question I've been struggling with since day one, because I really want my show to, and not just my show, my YouTube channel, my book, the Instagram content I'm about to start going very heavily on. I want the stuff I create to be able to reach people that aren't necessarily looking for that type of content. And I want it to be able to actually help people that are looking for that type of content, because there's no point in me sitting in front of the microphone and standing in front of the camera and putting in the ridiculous hours that I am if you're just getting motivated. Like, motivation is only so much. So I've been trying to answer that question for a while, and I don't have an answer yet. The only thing I can say is that it's some combination of the philosophy that you approach your world with, and your emotional state, and your economic state to an extent, and your just I think really, like, if you look at the systems that run our world, so the economy, politics, philosophy, psychology, like neurology, all the things that run the world and humans and just the real science behind it, I think there's some combination of factors within those that leads to each individual person's inability to make some kind of a change. And I say economic to an extent, because while a lot of people would say that that's their biggest limitation is having the dollars to be able to do it, I would say that the goal is never necessarily for every single person to become a millionaire or to have a six pack or to being the absolute best relationship in the world that is Instagram worthy or any of that. I think the goal is simply to be better today than you were yesterday, and money isn't necessarily a factor in that. Being better can simply be the fact that you meditated and are a little bit more calm today than you were yesterday. So I don't know what the answer is. All I know is that in order to find it and in order to be able to create real value for people, it's gonna require more than standing on a stage and yelling at the top of my lungs and getting people excited and motivated. It's going to require real scientific research and real just behavioral analysis on why humans are the way that we are. Like, I think it's something fundamental about humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud, you know, it just seems like, you know, we kind of get on this track, you know, like, hey, it's time to go to school. And now you graduate from college and you go get a job. And so a lot of people are just kind of on that track. And then there's a certain amount of people that are sort of like, well, I want to do something else. I feel unsatisfied or I'm challenged in life. And then I start to look for something else. And yet, you know, and now we have access to all this information, and yet it's almost like too much information, right? As we're just overloaded with information, we don't know which way to go. And so just thinking for myself, sometimes it can be just overwhelming, right? So mm-hmm. it's good to find your sources, your trusted sources. And it sounds like a lot of people are gravitating. Are you finding that, is there a particular type of person that's showing up for your community, or anything you're noticing, or is it just all types of people from all walks of life?
Really, the only constants that I've found is 25 to 45. And the majority of people who speak are females, but based on Facebook group activity, it skews both ways pretty evenly. So it just seems to be a really broad range. I mean, I have had people in the army stationed out in Japan email me. I've had neuroscientists email me. I've had psychologists email me. I've had farmers email me. I've had people here in the city email me, and it's just been such a broad range of people that it makes me realize, like, we're all humans and we're all trying to be a little bit better, and I think many of us are frustrated with the state of personal development, and so the type of things that I produce tend to resonate with that person, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So if we were, obviously you've done like over, you know, almost 200 episodes, maybe it'd be hard to pinpoint, okay, start with these ones, but does anything come to mind? Like, where would somebody start if they were to visit your podcast for the first time? Do you have a, you know, kind of a suggestions about that?
Yeah, I would say what listeners have told me they've done, multiple people have sort of confirmed this, and it seems to have worked for them, is listen to the three most recent. And then if you're so inclined, if you're finding it entertaining, go back and listen through. One of the benefits of it being a short show is that it's fairly bingeable in a pretty short amount of time when you compare it to some other shows. So a lot of listeners have told me, you know, I found your show because of an interview or because of the iTunes rankings or whatever it is. And I was skeptical, but I listened to the most recent episode. And then I spent 6 hours listening to all of the episodes. And that has been a pretty common theme. So I would suggest just do that. Listen to the most recent. And if you like it, let me know.
Great, great. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. You know, as we start to wind down, I wanted to ask about a couple of topics that I saw in your list of episodes.
Yeah.
And so why shouldn't we watch Game of Thrones? I saw that. Maybe that was a YouTube video. That
yeah, that was a YouTube video. So the point behind that actually wasn't even to say, you know, don't watch Game of Thrones. It was simply to... So one of the things I'm starting to see have some kind of effect in getting people to change their behavior is not judging their behavior, but simply pointing out what they could be doing. And so that was meant to be a little bit of a funny video or a funny take. And that's something that I'm going to be doing a little bit more often, is trying to make personal development and self-help. And I'm using these terms, but understand that I hate them. trying to make it a little bit more lighthearted and trying to not have people take it so seriously. And so that video was purely the Game of Thrones season premiere was coming up. It was that day. And I wanted to point out to people, this is just a list of 50 random things you could potentially be doing during the time you're watching Game of Thrones. So it's not necessarily meant to be taken seriously, like, hey, don't do it. It's a terrible show. Cause quite frankly, I have my own things that I binge. But just understand that when you're making that choice, you're also making the choice not to do these other things that you may claim you care about.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a point taken that it's nothing against, you know, the rabid fans of Game of Thrones, but just, hey, here's some other things you could be doing instead of doing that. And I usually list that as one of my examples of, hey, you know, instead of Netflix binge watching, you could be, you know, working on that thing that that you've really been meaning to work on.
Yeah.
What about why Donald Trump's win doesn't matter? That this was another one, but from a little while back. Mm-hmm. Why didn't it matter?
Yeah, that was actually a video I was kind of scared to put out. I wasn't sure how it would be taken. Just with the very divided viewpoints on this subject, and it was right after the election. I think I released it the day after or 2 days after. My point with that video was simply this: whether Hillary won or Donald won or Jeb Bush won or whoever it was that got into the White House, for most of us, and I say that very intentionally, for most of us, their policies aren't going to make that big of a difference. And I understand, like, for a lot of people, healthcare changes could make a big difference, and tax changes could make a big difference, and a lot of things can actually affect you. I'm not arguing against that in any way. But in my mind, whoever wins, the buck still stops with you for how you react to it. And so Donald won and is doing whatever it is he's doing. And I won't get into politics here, but so far, we're all still here. The country has not exploded. In my mind, some bad things have happened. And I know a lot of people disagree with that. A lot of people agree with that. But if we're not dead, it's still up to us to try and make our personal lives just a little bit better. Because 4 years or 8 years, at some point, he's out of office. Or if it was Hillary, at some point, she's out of office. And you're still alive. And if you didn't take actions to make your life better over those 4 years or 8 years, you're just at the mercy of whatever it is they did and whatever it is life is handing to you. And I don't know a single person that wants to be in that position. So I released it primarily because I was seeing so much just outrage from my sort of liberal bubble. and so much outrage from the other side on Twitter and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to remind people, listen, you're the only person in control of your life. And we're fortunate to be in a country where you do have control of your life. So stop complaining and take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think that so often we look outside ourselves. You could say the same thing about Obama. Like I'll just say I'm in the liberal camp as well. And I was super inspired by him in 2008. And then, the reality, and he, I think that was what got him into office largely, is he was able to really articulate that vision for our country. But, then he has to work as the president of the United States, which is, pretty limited capacity on how much you can really affect change in this country working within that system. And so, I think just in general, that's a great thing to come back to is like, well, okay, that's great. Either my side won or lost, but what am I doing in my own life to help myself?
And, exactly.
What I like about your podcast is it's really coming down to what can I do today to, make my day better, right?
So yeah.
One last one was about you recently about sugar addiction. So just on a different topic there, what do you have to say about that? And then tell us a little bit about a Cinnabon versus Coca-Cola.
Sure. Wow, you've done your research. Okay. So the sugar addiction episode was actually a part two to an episode. And full disclosure, I released the part one, which I can't remember the title of. It's something along the lines of what's wrong with sugar or that sort of thing. And I completely forgot that I said I would do a part two until a listener reached out to me and said, hey, it's been 10 episodes. Where is it? And so that I very quickly released that. But the whole point of that series was to point out that if your goal is to lose weight and if your goal is to be a certain size or have a six pack or whatever it is, sugar is one of the biggest things that is holding you back from that. And many people, and it's hard for me to say how people in different parts of the country feel, but a lot of people don't fully understand what each of the things in their food does to their body. So what carbs do, protein, fats, sugars, and those sorts of things. And so the point of that episode was simply to point out sugar is really bad for you. Most of us consume far more of it than we think we do because it's in mostly everything. And so many of us are addicted to sugar, which has been proven to have many of the same effects as cocaine addiction, without realizing that we're addicted to sugar. And so the first episode was to point that out. And the second episode was just outlining what I felt were some potential ways to deal with that addiction. And the simple ideas were paying attention to what it is you eat, keeping as much natural food in your fridge and your cupboard as you can, and just trying to as best you can to avoid it as much as possible while being intentional about when you eat it. Because one of the things I've noticed is that we fall short because we're not conscious of what it is we're doing or not doing. Many of us don't pay close enough attention to the things we do on a day-to-day basis to really understand what's going on. And so you end up spending more money than you realize, or you end up eating more sugar than you realize. And then, you think you're treating yourself when you have dessert, but really you've been consuming sugar all day long and just didn't know it. And so if you can be intentional and conscious about how you're eating, then yeah, you can have dessert. You can have ice cream and cake and all of those things, so long as you understand what that's doing, how it affects you and your goal, and what you've done for the entire rest of the day, not just what you think you've done. And so the second part of that, Cinnabon versus Coca-Cola, I tried to explore different episode types and just continue to find ways to push the show forward without necessarily killing the format I've found that has worked. So that episode was just kind of like a did you know fact. And one of the things that I learned and immediately wanted to share was that a bottle of Coke actually has far more sugar in it than a Cinnabon, which if I were to think about those things, I would think a Cinnabon should have way more sugar in it because there's, it's a Cinnabon. For anybody who has seen one, that thing is basically yeah. just sugar combined into sugar with melted sugar. And so I assumed this would have more sugar. And in actuality, a can of Coke or a bottle of Coke has far more sugar. But if you were to talk to most average Americans, at least, they would happily choose a bottle of Coke over a Cinnabon. And they would happily drink a can of Coke 2 to 3 nights a week with dinner or any soda, really, and be perfectly fine with that. But if you ask them if they wanted a Cinnabon, they'd say, no, there's too much sugar or fat or whatever it is in that. And so I thought it was important to point out, well, listen, the behavior you most likely are engaging in, the having of a can of Coke, is actually more damaging than the thing you think you shouldn't engage in.
Yeah. How many do you happen to remember? Wasn't it like 60 grams of sugar in a 20-ounce bottle of Coke? Bottle of Coke.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. It was around there, but something mm-hmm. I heard, and mind you, I haven't done the research on this, but definitely caught my attention, is just there's enough sugar in a bottle of Coke that you would throw up if they didn't have chemicals in it that sort of inhibit that response.
Oh my God.
So again, haven't done the research to confirm that, but I have heard it from multiple different fairly reputable sources. So it's the type of thing that I hear and ears immediately perk up and think, oh, that is absolutely disgusting.
Wow. Well, I'll look that up on my end too to verify that. But hell yes, lifers, you heard it here first. That 20 ounce bottle of Coke that you're drinking not only has 60 ounces of sugar in it, but you would be throwing it up if it wasn't for the chemicals in it. Perhaps we're going to look that up.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Greg, I think we're going to start winding down. I always like to ask our guests before we go, you know, we've talked about your past. You're obviously, things are just starting to explode for you. You got a book deal coming up. But looking towards the future, do you have a big vision, what I like to call your cringeworthy vision, vision so big it makes you cringe to think about sharing it with other people? And now here's your opportunity to do so with us. Do you have a vision like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So here's my vision. And let me preface this by saying that I'm a young guy. I'm 25, and this vision probably changes every year or so. But my vision of the world in 10 to 20 years is that AI is going to destroy everything, and not destroy everything in the way of like causing harm necessarily, which also is possible, but in the way of most jobs will be made meaningless. And so in a world like that, the only thing left is to improve yourself, because there's no job to go to. And so you're left with your own thoughts and your own creativity and your own life. And so if the only thing you need to focus on is yourself, your family, the people you care about, the goal for myself, the huge major, like, if I accomplish this, I win goal, is to be the company and the personal brand and the person that has cracked that code of why is it that we know what we need to do but won't do it, and made personal development and self-help and just getting better at living life as convenient and as easy as possible for people to integrate into their life, so that more people can thrive in that version of the world. And if I can do that, not only will it be the biggest company in the world because it'll sell the most valuable product, because that's the only thing people will care about in that future, it'll also provide an enormous amount of value in the way of allowing people to actually get some kind of change. And so that's 10 or 20 years down the road. Looking a little bit closer, I just want to create sort of the baby version of that, is how can I figure out how to make it easy for people who aren't necessarily looking to change their life to realize, hey, I need to change my life and I need to do something different and actually execute on that. And so one of the things I'm working on is a chat bot that in my mind will eventually replace the life coach. And I'm working on sort of a psychological framework of what experiences a person needs to have in order to change their life? Like, what is the trigger that enables them to become the type of person that starts looking for change options? And then when they find options, what needs to be in place so that they sort of resonate with that change and feel like they can actually achieve it? And so the plan over the next 5 to 10 years is to crack that code so that when the robots take over, I can create the company that that provides that value.
That's awesome. I love that. That's super big vision, including artificial intelligence, and just like that vision of what things might be like in the future. And as you were talking, I was almost envisioning this, you know, this society that we could potentially evolve into, where this was just integrated into our culture or our thinking from, you know, a very early age, right? Instead
of something I really love
stripped out of us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's something I really love. So I'm a big fan of propaganda, not as like a practice necessarily, but as a thing to study. So if you look at a country like North Korea, and I've never been there, I don't know anyone from there, so I'm just guessing off of the articles I've read and books I've read and things like that. But you have a very closed off country that truly believes that their leader is a god. And that happens because if you educate somebody that the way the world is a certain way from the time they are born, they grow up believing the world is that way. And then they teach their kids that the world is that way. Now that's a really bad example of how propaganda can be used. But I think propaganda can be used the other way. And I think a lot of countries already do that. I mean, to a lesser extent, the United States does a lot of propaganda, and France does, and Britain does. And any country that believes they are the best in the world does propaganda to reinforce that belief. And so in my mind, the way you create a world where self-help and personal development just becomes life is by educating people from the time they're born that this is the way you should approach your life. And if you can do that, you create, there's this quote I loved. It was actually from a fiction book, the Legend series that I recently finished. They had a great quote in it that was, it only takes one generation to get people to believe that the world is the way you want them to believe it is. And so if you can teach one generation of people that the way to a better life is to prioritize your day-to-day behaviors, to be conscious of the way that you deal with the world, to be conscious of your spending and your money and the way you eat, and figure out what it is you want for your life so that you can take actions around that. If you can teach one singular generation that, they'd pass that down to their kids pass it down to their kids pass it down. And barring any other outside influence, that is positive propaganda. Now, I will never live in that sort of closed off world where I'm the only influence, and frankly, I don't want to. But if I can at least get some fraction of that result where I can help people focus on the right things day to day and have them pass that down to their kids so that those generations are better off because their parents had a better education about how to change their life, then I win. I'm good. I'm happy with that.
Dude, I love that. I love that. And I think you're actually kind of, you're starting to answer your own question that you've put out there, is like, how can we, you know, get in touch with the greater society out there that isn't going for personal development? You know, I think you've made some progress even in the course of this this interview to how that might happen. And I'm totally on your team. I want to be on Greg Clunas's team, or just in general, that. Advancing that that cause of having, you know, the way that you're talking about life be the default way that we look at life versus something that's just off in a corner. So the personal development corner, whatever. So, well, Greg, it's been great having you on the show. I don't want to keep you too long here, but tell us where on the internet we can find you.
Sure. So Twitter is big, twitter.com/GregClunas. YouTube is a major focus for me right now as well. So youtube.com/GregClunas. Listen to the podcast, of course. I'm assuming you're already in a podcast app. So just do a search for either Greg Clunas or Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, whichever is easier for you to spell. And just give it a listen. Let me know what you think. Even if you hate it, just tweet at me and say, you suck. I truly want to know. And yeah, I mean, those are the big things. Instagram will become a focus, and that's at Greg Clunas, but that's not a major focus right this second. So Twitter, YouTube, and the podcast.
Awesome. And we'll include links in the show notes so you can get there that way as well. So Greg, thanks so much for joining us. You know, that was really thought-provoking conversation for me. I think our listeners really enjoyed it as well. To close out our time, I always like to say hell yes together on the count of three. Are you ready to do that?
Absolutely.
All right. One, two, three.
Hell yes.
All right, Greg. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a hell yes life.